Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, on a mission to create remodeling experiences worthy of 5-star online reviews. See the difference at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, February 27th. I'm Abby Larico. People across the country have been celebrating Black History Month for a century now. Some students in St. Louis say illuminating Black history is especially critical now.
We talk about all different types of sensitive topics, but when it comes to another race that's been oppressed for years and years, we don't want to talk about it.
STLPR's Andrea Henderson spoke with students and historians about the importance of African American history. Coming up after this news on The Gateway. Christopher Dunn was cleared of murder 2 years ago. Now the state is appealing to put him back in prison. Dunn's 1991 murder conviction was thrown out after the case was reconsidered at the request of the St. Louis Circuit Attorney. A judge ruled in 2024 that he doubted the credibility of two adolescent boys who had provided the only evidence against Dunn. Yesterday, his case went before the Missouri Court of Appeals. The attorney general argues that the boys recanting their testimony was not enough evidence to overturn the case. But Booker Shaw, who represented Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore, disagrees.
You can't tell who was lying when, but you know they're all liars. And so ultimately what Judge Singheiser decided, no juror acting reasonably would have voted to find Dunn guilty of these crimes beyond a reasonable doubt with the remaining evidence.
The appeals court will issue its ruling at a later date. Missouri may soon have a permanent ban on transgender athletes playing for teams that align with their gender identity. St. Louis Public Radio's Lily Halloran reports the House has approved legislation that would remove the 2027 expiration date on the current ban.
Members voted 98-37 to approve the bill. Republicans who spoke in favor say it's a matter of fairness for women in sports. Democratic Representative Mark Boyko of Kirkwood says his daughter has competed against a transgender athlete, and he initially felt it was unfair, but his perspective later changed.
I watched my daughter play against a trans woman who was stronger and bigger than she was, and yet when the match ended, their smiles were equally large. Their fist bumps were equally genuine.
Boyko says high school sports are about community and not who has more athletic prowess. Other Democrats pointed to the small number of transgender athletes in the state. In Jefferson City, I'm Lily Halloran, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri families in need of child care assistance will soon face a wait list as the state deals with an increasing demand for services. New applicants to Missouri's child care subsidy program will be placed on a wait list beginning Sunday. Applications will be sorted by the date submitted and priority levels, including children who have special needs or are experiencing homelessness. Carla Esslinger is the state's commissioner of education. She says the waitlist will allow the state to, quote, responsibly manage available funding, protect services for children currently enrolled, and prioritize families facing the greatest challenges, unquote. Children who are in foster care or receive preventive services will not be placed on the waitlist. Property owners impacted by the May 16th tornado have until tomorrow to apply for the city's private property assistance program. St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Gravich has details.
The STL Recovers Office says thousands of damaged properties that qualify for assistance do not have an application on file. This program offers up to $50,000 per property for repairs, as well as stabilization, demolition, and debris removal. City officials say they plan to repair about 100 homes a month for up to 18 months. They're urging property owners to apply as soon as possible because some applications require follow-ups and additional documents. Applicants may need to provide proof of ownership, insurance paperwork, and other legal records. The STL Recovers Outreach Center is open from 9 to 5 today and until 1 tomorrow to help property owners complete their applications. The deadline has already been extended by 2 weeks. I'm Katie Gravich, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Metro East Village of Glen Carbon appears to be the first Illinois community to take advantage of a newly expanded set of tax incentives. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports Glen Carbon trustees recently approved the creation of a Star Bonds district to lure a massive shopping and entertainment development.
Star Bonds allow a developer to use sales tax generated by the project to pay back the bonds that help finance it. The village's district is now awaiting a decision from the state. If approved, development group Destination Illinois would like to construct a nearly $2 billion entertainment, tourism, and mixed-use project. Robert Steffen is the executive vice president of Destination Illinois.
The economic impact will be significant. It will be in the billions of dollars. It will be thousands of construction jobs and, you know, a couple thousand permanent jobs, full and part-time.
The proposed location is more than 1,500 acres near where Interstates 255 and 270 intersect. If approved by the state, Steffen says construction could start in 18 to 24 months. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
All month long, people have been observing the achievements of Black Americans and historical events as the country celebrates Black History Month. The observance began 100 years ago as Negro History Week and has since expanded. It continues in St. Louis and nationwide. That's despite recent efforts by the Trump administration to erase the accomplishments of African Americans in libraries, museums, and other places. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson has this report.
Educator Carter G. Woodson created Negro History Week in 1926. It was initially held during the second week of February to coincide with the birthday celebrations of abolitionist Frederick Douglass and President Abraham Lincoln. Woodson wanted everyone to know about the achievements of African Americans and their history. For high school students at Rosati Kane Academy, African American history is an essential part of classwork. Julie Murphy is head of curriculum and also teaches the upper-level course, Women, Race, and Society. She says students wanted an expansive view of Black history.
Because of social media and just how our society is kind of at a boiling point with a lot of these issues, along with the students feeling frustrated that, you know, the only people that they learn about are Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman. They want to know who else is involved and what did they do.
In Murphy's class, nine juniors and seniors were discussing activists and civil rights leaders they would have selected for their cabinet if they were president.
My favorite cabinet member was my girl, Diane Nash.
Savannah Edwards, a junior, was impressed with Nash. She led lunch counter sit-ins and organized freedom rides during the 1960s.
She was just real cool, you know, because she did a lot of stuff as she was a kid, like as she was a student. And that means a lot because it can show that a student can really make a big difference.
I pledge allegiance to my Black people. I pledge to develop my mind and body.
The Black Child's Pledge being recited by the students was part of the Black Panther Party's emphasis on pride in education. The militant and armed Black Power group of the 1960s and 70s was founded to protect Black communities from police brutality, but also provided social services to children and families. Junior Phoenix Butler says that's something students aren't taught in school.
We talk about all different types of sensitive topics, but when it comes to another race that's been oppressed for years and years, we don't want to talk about it.
Civil rights organizations like the NAACP point to the elimination of DEI, book bannings, and removing historical facts about African Americans from national parks. They say that makes it difficult for people to understand the country's true history. That's why Robert Vinson works to keep the spirit of Black History Month alive. He is director of the Carter G. Woodson Institute for African American and African Studies at the University of Virginia. Vinson says the teaching and celebrations of Black history over the past century have led to monumental change, including the signing of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and Black Studies courses being offered at universities. He says the recent efforts to ban Black history are pushing the country backwards.
I think Carter G. Woodson, if he was living today, would be very sad about that, but I don't think he would be particularly surprised, because that has been the nature of this country, trying to suppress our history for all of these years.
However, KY's Whitehead is hopeful. She's the president of the Association of the Study of African American Life and History, which Woodson founded. She says the association will continue preserving and promoting Black history for years to come.
The artifact might be hidden away. The artifact might even be destroyed, but the historical record, the text, the stories, the photographs, something will survive, and that is the history that gets passed on.
Wise Whitehead hopes the lessons people have learned by studying and observing Black history for a century can help create a better future. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway. Have a fantastic weekend.